Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show. It is Thursday, June 5th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on a tinfoil hat Thursday. Put on your tinfoil hat and give us a doozy, and we might talk about it on the air. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. You know how to get aboard. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. I tried watching last night's Astros-Pirates game, and I will admit, even though the game was once again a quick one, I fell asleep. That's right. I fell asleep watching what ended up being one boring-ass game where the Astros couldn't score a run. I brought up that stat about them being bad in the first inning. They were bad once again. 1-2-3 with a couple of strikeouts. And it's a shame because yesterday, for the most part, Astros pitching did its job. Sure, Ryan Gusto allowed 8 hits, but all of the runs the Pirates put across the plate were via small ball. Second inning, it's a ground out that scores Tommy Pham. Second inning, it's a sac fly that scores another. In the third, a double play scores Pittsburgh's third run. Okert steps in. He gives you an inning and 2/3 of scoreless ball. Brian King steps in, an inning of scoreless ball. Sousa steps in, inning of scoreless ball. Astros pitching did its job yesterday. Meanwhile, the Astros bats scored 0 runs against something called Mike Burrows, who entered last night's game with an ERA higher than 5.27. He left last night's game with an ERA of 5.27. 5 1/3? You can't get a run across the plate against this guy? You can't even force a walk? You strike out 6 times against this guy? Oh, but Paul, it's the National League. You don't see this guy very often. I'm sorry. That's a load of crap. Bad Astros. That's a bad, bad Astros. The Astros bats just like my cat when she gets up on a counter or when she gets up in a place where she's not supposed to be. Do I need to bring out the squirt bottle? Psst, psst, psst. Bad. That's a bad Astros bat. Bad, bad, bad. Is that what I got to do? I get it. I mean, it wasn't everybody in the lineup. Jeremy Pena's 2-for-4 with a double. Yiner Diaz has 2 hits. Victor Caratini a double. Jake Myers had a single. Jose Altuve hit an 8-foot single. That was fun. But once again, it's the usual suspect. Christian Walker in the cleanup spot doing nothing. 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Oh, but he's officially arrived as a Houston Astro. He's Zach Benitez. 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. So the 2-run homer didn't get him out of his slump. Christian Walker's home run didn't get him out of his slump. Jacob Melton, not a major leaguer. I get it. There's some injuries that the Astros are dealing with right now. Chaz McCormick. Yeah, I actually miss him at this moment in time. Yordan Alvarez, amongst others. It's not good. It's not good enough. And yesterday, Dana Brown, and we'll do a Down with Dana Brown segment at 1 o'clock, gaslit us a little bit. Christian Walker's turning the corner, is he? Come on. Come on. Move him out of the cleanup spot, for God's sakes. Can we put Jake Myers there? That makes more sense at this point in time. It really does. Victor Caratini, cleanup. Anyone other than Christian Walker in the cleanup spot, huh? Dana was doing his usual politician thing. The bats are starting to turn the corner. I'm starting to see flashes of offense. And if we start to really heat up with the bats, we'll go on the run. We're on the verge of what? Oh, we're on the verge! Torpedo bats, rise. I don't know what they need. They need something. A little something, something. Because right now, this ain't it. So there you go. They lost 3-0 to the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday. I don't know what else I have to say. I know some on the Twitch are upset that I'm talking about baseball because I don't like it. Well, I don't like bad baseball. This is bad baseball. You lost to something called Burrows. Not Joe Burrow. Burrows. I mean, his ERA is 5.27. You can't get one run across the plate. Come on. Todd, the show says, I don't even think the Astros got to third base. You're right. Going to have to rely on Fromber, Hunter Brown, and Lance McCullers to win series. Yeah, you're right. Until they get some of the other arms back. And, I mean, the pitching did his job last night. That's what's frustrating. You lose, and the offense does nothing, and that pitcher sucks, as do the Pirates. So, they're 23-39. You're not going to win every single game. You're allowed to be annoyed, though, after last night's performance, a performance that I fell asleep during. Anyway, what else is going on? Tonight, NBA Finals, they tip off. You got the heavily favored Oklahoma City Thunder, who have had one of the best seasons we've seen in a while. They've got the MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Meanwhile, you got the upstart Indiana Pacers, who fought their way to a very surprising NBA Finals appearance. Sure, they didn't have to play the Celtics, but they did play the Cavs and beat them. They beat the Knicks, who beat the Celtics. It's an impressive run. Tyrese Haliburton doing a hell of a job. Rick Carlisle, hell yeah, that guy's back. Pascal Siakam, I mean, there's a lot going on in this Finals. And listen, I'm not here to do the stupid conversation that I imagine a lot of the blabbers are doing today. Well, is this good for basketball? Yes, it is. You know what's good? Variety. Variety is good for sports. And we get to see something new in the Finals. I like that. The NBA hasn't had a lot of that over the years. I don't know if that turns off a great deal of people who watch basketball, but when the team in your backyard ain't doing a whole lot, you want to at least enjoy the championship. And I get that right now this is a series that doesn't feature traditional stars. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander knew. No one thought Tyrese Haliburton was a superstar until these playoffs. I'm still, skeptical about putting him on that shelf, but do you need that to watch the series? Do you need to care? Because I'll say this about the two teams. They play basketball in the way that you'll enjoy. I like about Oklahoma City, maybe not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all the, trying to get calls that he does, but OKC plays unbelievable defense. Defense is good. It's weird that we've gotten to a point where people don't take pride in defense. I'm not necessarily talking about just the NBA on that front, but for anyone who's played pickup basketball, I think it's very bizarre that a lot of people that you play against get upset when somebody actually gives a damn about defense. I think it's bizarre. I really do. Listen, the one thing that all of us should be good at if you're playing a pickup game of basketball and you're still athletic, that effort, because you're probably a crap dribbler and you probably have a crap shot. So maybe pay a little attention on defense. See what happens, huh? Because the people you're going up against, probably the same. So you got that from OKC. And then from Indiana. And I do hope that the Rockets are watching the Pacers and thinking about what things they can do to perhaps be a little bit different offensively. Because what the Pacers do, the Pacers are just random. They throw all sorts of stuff at you, and part of it's Rick Carlisle, and some of it's some of the players on their team. But what they do
is they vary things up. Nothing is too predictable. So how does that look? A team in Indiana that's going to run you to death against a team in OKC who has the ability to run with you for the entire length of a game. I wonder. I know a lot of people are saying it's going to be easy for OKC. I hope they're wrong. I tend to agree with them. But I want to know how you feel about this. I definitely would rather watch these NBA Finals than these Houston Astros. That's for damn sure. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. A question that I have for you: why will or why won't you watch these NBA Finals? Plus, if you are the Astros, offensively, is it time to make some sort of move to bring in a bat? It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the NBA Finals.
98. Halliburton buries a bomb.
When you get to this point of the season, you know, it's two teams and it's one goal. It becomes an all or nothing thing.
Chase Phillips Alexander burying a three.
The Indiana Pacers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder, the finals.
Game one coverage begins tonight at 6:30 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Asked on the other side, hey, you going to watch these NBA Finals? Or nah? I mean, I'm going to watch them. It's mainly because I'd prefer to watch the NBA Finals over, I don't care if they're in the first place, an Astros offense that can't score. You know, I'm not here for pitcher's duels in the month of June. I'm not here for scoring zero runs against a guy who left last night's game with a 5.27 ERA. I don't know what it was before. I know it was higher than that. A couple of comments. NBA playoffs too long as a whole. Not engaging. No one wants to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander flop his way to a championship. Haven't watched a minute since the Rockets lost. That does seem to be standard for this town. When your local team is dead, you're like, I'm not watching anything. Maybe the exception is the NFL, but I mean, I remember after the Astros played the Rangers, and it was a Rangers-Diamondbacks World Series. I don't even know what happened. I'm still not sure what happened in that World Series. Did they win? I know there was a parade. Was it a gay pride parade or something like that? I don't know. But there was a parade in Arlington. I don't know. I know they don't do Pride Night, which I saw another article from, you know, one of those aggregator local Instagram accounts dropping that knowledge on us. But like, was that the parade? Was that what it was for? I don't know. I have no idea what happened in the 2020. I don't even know what year that was. Was it 2023? 2023 World Series? I have no idea what happened, Sean.
Yeah. I think you hit it on the head. With football, I mean, this is just like America. Just like everyone watches football no matter what. Like it could be whatever. We're just, we'll watch. But with baseball and basketball, it does seem like it's a little bit more. There needs to be a hook, which makes it funny that people at the same time, like there's the consensus when you get a finals like this is that it's small markets, so we're not interested. Or it's like, so you'd prefer the alternative of Knicks Lakers,
right?
Like
that, you need more LeBron, need more Warriors.
But also when it's the Warriors and Cavs every year for 4 years, this is so predictable. It's like there really is no way for the NBA to win. It just boils down to like we don't like basketball as much as we like football. That's like the boiling down point.
I suppose one of the reasons that it might be good for those teams to make it is so that you have something to hate watch if you're going to actually watch.
That's why when dynasties make it, they like are historically the highest rated Super Bowls, finals, World Series.
Yeah, it really probably is because everyone's like, F these guys.
Well, it's also just a team that you know, like it's a team full of players that like my mom knows. Like that's yeah. basically what the ratings thing is chasing casual fans. Like that, if the like teams really matter to you that much, like chances are you're just a casual fan of that sport.
Yeah.
If you're a diehard, you'll watch.
Which we don't judge, by the way.
No.
We don't judge that.
But that's just like the facts of like, how do you get other people interested in it? What you're saying is we need people who are non-fans to watch.
Right. Exactly. Rick Carlisle, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, was asked about interest in these NBA finals featuring two very tiny markets. Here's what he had to say.
As far as the markets, you know, I understand that there would be concern for, you know, how many people would watch because they're smaller markets. But if we're celebrating the game and we're putting game above all, which was one of the things that Adam Silver said when he became commissioner, then it really shouldn't matter. You know, it really shouldn't matter. And so I know that we're going to do our very best to represent our city, our state, at the best possible level. You know, Thunder will do the same. But this really hopefully is about the quality of the games. And, you know, we got our work cut out for us there.
It's got to be so annoying to field these questions. That was a very professional answer that Rick Carlisle gave. But honestly, I'd like to tell these people, I don't give a bleep. I don't care. I don't care about the cities I play in. I'm here to win.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle's like, I just want to win this.
That's such a professional answer. I honestly, I wish he told that person to go F themselves. That would be fun because he deserves to say that. If you're going to watch it, as Sean said, you're probably a very big basketball fan. I know that the casuals, they might not, but I like the change of pace. I like the variety. I know someone texted in, Paul, did you like variety when the Patriots and Tom Brady were in the Super Bowl every single year? Yes, because it was who they played against. That was the spice of life.
Yes, when it was the Giants, hated it. When it was a different team, liked it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there was a little bit of variety. I mean, it did get to a point where if you don't make the Super Bowl, it was crushing because everyone would go after you. You know, I did not live in Boston for many of the years where they were successful. So generally, I was just the insufferable a-hole always wearing Boston sports teams clothes. Someone else texted in, Paul, do we even know who was in the NBA championship last year and who won? Actually, yes, it was the Boston Celtics. Did you know it was their 18th title, which is significantly more than that of the Lakers, who claimed to have, 16, 17, but actually five of those belong to Minneapolis because they stole, you see, the Lakers from Minneapolis. They are still called the Lakers. There are no lakes in Los Angeles, don't you know? That's why I'm wearing a Sonics jersey. By the way, I'm rooting for the Pacers in these finals. F OKC. F them. F them. Not the city itself. Just F that franchise. F Starbucks. The person who ran it, Howard Schultz, father of NFL insider Jordan Schultz. Howard Schultz took that team out of town. I mean,
well,
they belong there.
He sold it to Oklahoma businessmen who promised that it would stay in Seattle.
But who would have actually believed them? What? Oklahoma businessmen are going to move to Seattle with the cultural divide between those two locations?
This was 2007. The culture war was years from happening.
No, that was always what it was. Listen, I love Seattle sports fans. Their politics, I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, that's the thing.
What?
This is the least woke NBA finals ever.
Oh, yeah. A lot of mid-American values. A lot of mid-American values on display.
No DEI here.
Well, listen, as far as the whiteys, there's, you know.
Chet Holmgren.
There's one.
TJ McConnell.
There's two.
The whites are very white in this matchup. Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, hey.
No. Hartenstein doesn't have the white card. Per him. Everyone was very surprised. What is it? Is his,
Google that.
Okay, yeah. Google it for yourself. We don't need to get into the details there.
Shocking.
It is pretty surprising. I mean, his last name is Hartenstein. You're like, wait, is this guy German? Also, he was a Rocket, for what it's worth.
Yeah. Are you rooting for Rockets legend? No, you're not.
Rockets legend, Isaiah Hartenstein. So, will you, won't you watch the NBA Finals?
You got some more texts here. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. From the 832, I will be watching mainly because I just bought a brand new 75-inch TV. Congratulations to you. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I felt like you just wanted to
shoehorn
that in there.
What? F it. The TVs are cheap now, you know? I don't think he's flexing that much.
Oh, okay.
No, well, seriously, go to Costco, go to Walmart. TVs are cheap now. They're very, very cheap. From the text line, we talked about variety. This championship's good for variety. If it was up to Major League Baseball, says this texter, it would be Yankees, Dodgers every single year. Yeah, you're right on that front. I hate both of those teams. I pretended not to watch it. I did watch the end. I did watch the end. I don't like the Dodgers, but I would root for the Dodgers against the Yankees. That's a me thing. I understand a lot of Astros fans maybe feel differently on that front, but honestly, I wouldn't want the Yankees to win over the Dodgers ever. Ever. Keith has a thought on the most interactive sports talk show in town. Are you going to watch the NBA Finals? And do the Astros need to add a bat? Keith, what's up?
Hey, Paul. Hey, Sean. Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch the NBA Finals for a couple reasons. You know, I think a new champion for the seventh consecutive year is good for basketball. Also had a couple of questions. Want to get you guys' opinion on it. Would you guys call this the Paul George Bowl or more of a hoop head, a ball is life for the Victor Oladipo Bowl? Secondly, who can gain more towards their NBA legacy with the second ring, Alex Caruso or Pascal Siakam?
That's a good question. I think it's definitely more Alex Caruso. I think a lot of people forgot he was on that Lakers team as far as the last question. Siakam's a really good player, and I feel like he deserved a lot more respect for his time in Toronto. And as far as the first question goes, it has to be Paul George. Here's the thing about Victor Oladipo. I thought he died. You know, remember when he joined the Rockets? And tongue-in-cheek here, but, I mean, his career was over there.
Yeah.
He has been gone for such a long time. Paul George, who definitely not the same player he used to be, despite having an outrageous ego, because he is still in, I guess, the conversation by contributing to the conversation, podcasting P, it's definitely the Paul George Bowl.
And you can trace how both teams got their best player, like,
correct,
directly through them trading away Paul George.
Oladipo did play for both. He was pretty good with Indiana, right?
Yes.
Oklahoma City, I don't remember him even being there.
He was all right. Okay. He played on the Westbrook team. So
gotcha. Okay. Oh, well, how could anyone play well? Yeah. He's the ball.
That's why you don't remember, because he didn't have the ball.
Yeah, ball.
But yeah, Paul George obviously traded for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a million picks, one of which is also Jalen Williams, the second best player on the Thunder. So trading Paul George gave the Thunder the two best players. And then Paul George was traded from Indiana for Domantas Sabonis and Victor Oladipo.
Mm-hmm.
Sabonis was then traded for Tyrese Haliburton. So both teams in the finals. Thank you, Paul George. That should be a message that they record, where it's all the different fans, executives, coaches, players going, thank you, Paul George, like he died. Like he sacrificed his life for this final.
And meanwhile, he's watching it about the podcast about it. Probably going to sound like all those NBA players.
Post game, yeah.
He's going to sound like all those old NBA players who think like today's generation sucks. Like, these teams actually suck. Like, oh, they'd be so much better without me. By the way, I bet there's a part of Indiana that's like, man, I wish we had Sabonis for this one. Wish we had Sabonis. I know we have Tyrese Haliburton. That's the only reason we're here, but I wish we had Sabonis.
Yeah, God, yeah.
You know, he reminds me of Larry Bird. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about him. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. A couple of quick tidbits. I thought these were amusing. Someone said, hey, man, there's Women's Softball World Series.
That's what I'm watching tonight.
There's the Baseball Regional. Right. That's right. There was a winning play in the Texas Tech softball game last night. If the Astros didn't make me fall asleep by sucking at offense, I might have been able to catch it.
It still was low scoring, but it was a pitcher's duel, I'd say.
Oh, the softball game too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who won?
Texas.
Okay. Ooh, is Texas back?
Every call went against them, and they still somehow they managed.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. They're trying to rig it.
Texas Tech a title.
Trying to rig it for Tech. Interesting.
Yeah. Buy their way to the top.
Yeah.
$1 million pitcher.
The tech
doesn't
guys
even know how to intentionally walk a girl.
Do you think the Tech fans are going to respond to a loss
rationally? Yeah.
they start throwing batteries, tortillas wrapped in batteries wrapped in tortillas on the field because of a bad call. Listen, I like Texas Tech people. I think they're fun. I am rooting for Texas Tech to make this show fair and balanced. Also, Eric the Driver asks, hey, Paul, what did you think about Edmonton winning game one of the Stanley Cup? Well, first off, boo Canada. I don't want them to win. I think it's hilarious that they haven't won in forever. Two, my biggest takeaway from last night's Edmonton Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Finals game is that the Dallas Stars didn't play in it, and you hate to see that. 713-780-3776 to call to text. What is your biggest tinfoil hat conspiracy in the world of sports right now? Because it's a tinfoil hat Thursday. Up next, why is CJ Stroud not throwing? I heard a really good theory as to why he's not throwing that'll raise an eyebrow or two. And a guy who recently was exonerated. Should the Astros think about this guy? Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
This is the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Questions on the table are, one, do the Astros need to add a bat well before the trade deadline? Yes! Two, are you going to be watching these NBA finals, even though it features two smaller market teams, the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder? Interesting text as far as those finals go from 409 Josh. Don't these trades by teams in the finals mean the Rockets should trade Jalen Green? Well, if you're trading Jalen Green and you're getting to the spot where both the Pacers and Thunder are, in the case of the Thunder, you're trading for a bunch of picks. I think you're past the point of picks. And in the case of the Pacers, I mean, the Pacers got, in Tyrese Halliburton, a asset that at the time was not appreciated.
Yeah.
So it would be like you're trading Jalen Green for some random guy that we would all second guess immediately after the trade. And I don't think that's what this team needs at this moment in time. Like, because I can't really think of anyone, Sean, off the top of my head that's that guy.
Yeah, yeah. And
Durant maybe is like the only thing, but he's 38, but it feels like he's older than that. And yeah, he gives you something, but he doesn't give you everything.
The trade, like, it would be less of a Paul George type trade if you're, you know, look at these finals, how they're built, localize it. How do we get there? It's less, the comparison isn't Paul George, and it's gonna probably upset people that the closer comparison to me is the Thunder last year trading away Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso. That's more of the, like, hey, we took a shot on a young guy drafted in the top five of the 2021 draft and didn't work. We're getting someone who fits what we're trying to do better than someone who you kind of have to, like, run the show for. But, well, we have a better player that runs the show for us. Now, Shingun isn't close to being as good as SGA. That's the ultimate thing, is that the Rockets need their SGA. They need the Halliburton.
Yes.
But
Thompson might be that, but we don't know yet.
There's no one on the roster that you're getting a...
Right.
Like you said, like even a Tyrese Halliburton level of compensation, never mind the Shea and every draft pick we have.
Durant's the closest thing that you theoretically could get to a Tyrese Halliburton in that he is not as appreciated as he once was, but the upside is not there like it is with Halliburton, and I don't think you should trade Jalen Green for Durant. I think that there's value for Green. I think a draft pick is all you should have to give up for Durant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. It's 12:30 on a Thursday. You know what that means. It's time for a Tinfoil Hat Thursday.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Handling the biggest conspiracies in sports.
Who has the power to cover it up?
Just follow the money.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay!
And asking the questions they don't want answered.
So hold on to your hats.
Tinfoil hat?
They should wear little tinfoil hats!
This is Tinfoil Hat Thursday.
Couple of tinfoil hat theories on the text line that you can send in. 713
713-780-3776 to call to text. A texter talking about the Astros' offense struggles. Apparently, the traject arc is a hoax. What has it done for the Astros, even against a subpar pitcher and a subpar team? For those who don't know, the traject arc is a robotic pitching machine used by baseball teams to replicate the pitches of any baseball pitcher with high accuracy. The Astros, amongst others, are using this to train their hitters. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be working, and I would also wonder about the Astros' approach at the plate, if they're maintaining that same kind of patience that Dana Brown, Joe Espada wanted to have them having going into the year. Also, Eric the Driver texts in, conspiracy theories aren't real. It's just a conspiracy made up by Big Aluminum to sell more tinfoil for hats. I don't know how many people actually make tinfoil hats like this. The only time I can see in film or remember in film people wearing tinfoil hats is in the movie Signs, where Joaquin Phoenix and Small Child Girl are wearing tinfoil hats as Mel Gibson comes back from exploring the greater insert random rural industrial place looking to see whether or not there are aliens and such outside.
Yeah, yeah. So it isn't a real thing. It's just something that Reynolds from Reynolds Wrap has implanted into the American culture, where we think tinfoil denotes conspiracy thought.
Yeah, I think so.
But no one actually buys them, or no one wears them on their head.
People no, buy I use it to cook food, so there's less cleanup. Yeah. And on top of that, I also use it to conserve food when I have cooked something and I do not want it to go bad.
And then the 3 sheets that you use to make the hat.
Yeah, it's like 7. Oh, but okay. Yeah, I double layered. I get what you're saying here. Little duct tape. It's not very comfortable. I'm wearing a tinfoil hat for those who don't know right now. Tinfoil hat Thursday. CJ Stroud not practicing with general shoulder discomfort and or a pec injury. Our guy, Big Sarge Sports of Big Sarge Media, dropped this nugget about one of the reasons that the Texans aren't too upset about this right now.
Hey, Sarge, let me tell you something. And let me tell this to you, because I like you, because I know who you are. I respect you and I respect your work. Sarge, let me tell you this. Have you ever sat back and thought that maybe CJ isn't throwing right now because Nick Caley wants to see what he has in Davis Mills?
Damn. That would be so funny, right? What if Nick Caley, again, we're joking around here, but what if Nick Caley is like, I need a white quarterback. I need myself a white quarterback. I need myself a Tom Brady or a Matt Stafford. That's all I've worked with. He New England and L.A. I don't know why I gave him this accent, but let's just work with the character here.
But, yeah.
I mean, listen, that's as far as the reasons go, that is close to the bottom, in my opinion. But, hey, Sarge talks to people. Sarge is there every single day. I do like the dramatic build-up to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So like they can see what they have at Davis Mills. Tinfoil hat Thursday. Put a tinfoil hat on your head. Here's another one. Trevor Bauer. There is collusion against him across baseball against giving him a job. And it partly is due to the fact that since he's such an unrepentant a-hole, no one wants to deal with the social media fallout and backlash that would come if they were to bring him in. For those who don't know, yesterday Trevor Bauer was awarded over $300,000 in a default judgment against the original sexual assault accuser, Lindsay Hill. Look up the details for yourself. After she lied publicly and claimed that he had paid her money to settle their lawsuit. Bauer, to his credit, smart guy, even if he's an a-hole, did not sign any NDA, so it allowed him to share any information that came from this. And Hill has quite the rap sheet, for those who don't know. We're not seeing a lot of follow-up on this, except for from a couple of reporters, but Lindsay Hill has been charged and arrested for assaulting an EMS officer, disorderly conduct, public intoxication, driving on a DUI suspended license, and cruelty to animals. That last one, I don't like that one. And listen, there are others who have made allegations against Trevor Bauer. And I remember when these came out,
I thought to myself, damn, if these are true, not great, but one of the other allegations against Trevor Bauer, I think the fourth and most recent one, was not a concrete story because the person was contradicting themselves often when they first brought this to the police. And this woman was also indicted for fraud last year. So, at least in two of the four allegations against Trevor Bauer, it seems like people were trying to screw him over. I can't speak for the other two. You want to go down a deep rabbit hole, you can for yourself. But Bauer just got money from the state of California. Check that. I guess, I don't know if it's from the state of California. It's supposed to come from Lindsey Hill. I doubt Lindsey Hill has the money. I doubt that he's going to get these $300,000 that the state of California ruled that he gets.
Or is it a payment plan or something?
Yeah, like a 30-year payment plan or something like that. Even that, that's going to take a very long time.
I also wonder how they land on that number where it's like, if you're saying that because of this false accusation, he's no longer an MLB pitcher, like, it should be $30 million. You know, like, it should be a lot more money. That, again, I doubt Lindsey Hill has.
I doubt she'll ever have it.
I guess she's one of four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like, all of his money. Like, you know, but it should still be, like, a fourth, you know, of his money. Right. I don't know.
To bring it back to Bauer, my assumption always was the reason that no baseball team took a chance on him was that the talent wasn't there anymore, but at this point, I mean, look at the effing Rockies, who, to their credit, have more, or at least at 212 yesterday, had more wins in June than any team in baseball. Would there really be that much backlash if a bad team signed him, especially with where the pendulum has swung as far as the culture wars? There would certainly be a lot of people who don't like him, but would it really be such a massive distraction or problem for your team if you brought him in? I would say with a lot of these teams, this is the kind of novelty that you should bring in because no one effing cares about you. So it makes me wonder if you're Bauer and no one's bringing you in, do you sue Major League Baseball right now? Do you do what Colin Kaepernick, I guess, never quite did? Like, always threatened. There was always like that hanging in the air, but I think he still wanted a job, so he never followed through on it all the way.
Yeah,
because I think if Bauer keeps on winning these cases, I am assuming that whoever he works with, and obviously he's a smart person that's a little tinfoil hattish himself, I would think that Bauer would find some sort of way to have at least a strong case against Major League Baseball here. It is pretty crazy that he is unemployed and we're continuing to see stories of these allegations against him get dropped. Just a thought. Again, I don't know about the other two cases, but Lindsey Hill, the original accuser of sexual assault against Trevor Bauer, and the most recent one, the fourth one, who was indicted for fraud, it does seem like at least half of this was bull bleep.
Yeah, yeah. And then it boils down to, like, if he was a good enough pitcher, some team would look the other way, or B, if he was likable. Because it doesn't seem like he's just unlikable to, like, the public. It seemed like he was unlikable to the Dodgers when he was on the Dodgers, where the clubhouse wasn't exactly... Like,
yes. Brought that up.
Yeah, we've all heard, like, you know, the Texans, when Deshaun Watson was going through his thing, like, the guys on the team generally support... The Browns support Deshaun Watson, too. And he's not even good anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Dodgers players did not seem as supportive of him, and they never really, like, spoke up about, like, it's wrong what they're doing to Trevor Bauer. We want him back.
Exactly.
It seemed like they're kind of like, all right, it's a real shame.
You pitch once every 5 days. Right. Honestly, if Bauer does come back, Bauer's going to need to sort of say, like, to himself and to others, like, he has to make a better effort to be a normal person with all of these people. So that's definitely a part of it. Texter brought that up, too. Like, I don't think he would fit in with this Astros clubhouse. Just even no matter how much it's changed, I just don't think he'd fit in with it. Yeah. That said, I will admit, you know, mea culpa here, the idea that no one was signing him because he wasn't good anymore, like, I'm sorry. Look at the Rockies.
Yeah, you
look at who the Pirates are throwing out there.
You would think that at the very least, like, even right now, if you're one of these bad teams, like, you take the the PR hit, like you said, the like people that would be upset about it. But like, I don't know if you're the Rays, like, do you care if you're, you know, a team that's like kind of out of the way? I understand why the Yankees can't do it. The Dodgers can't bring them back because that's right. like on such a bigger scale. But if you're one of these small market teams, or if you're the Marlins, like,
why not?
Sign them, and then at the trade deadline, trade them.
Right, like, exactly. Like,
have them for a year, and then try to flip them.
I'm with you on that one. I do, again, like, he's part of this, no doubt about it, but maybe not for these off-the-field stories that happened. I don't think he would fit in with the Astros. I do think, though, especially say he's not the same player he was a couple of years ago, I do think he should sue baseball at this point. I mean, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if it's clear that he's not getting in.
Exactly. They're clearly not signing him, so he may as well at this point in time. And, I mean, listen, we don't like Trevor Bauer that much here, but, I mean, we don't like Rob Manfred either. So, be kind of funny.
Watch him fight.
Yeah, yeah. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. This might be a how far is too far conversation. I'm sure that we will talk about Trevor Bauer at some point the rest of the show. Coming up next, the Houston Rockets. They're in the midst of the offseason. Are they thinking about bringing in this guy? Well, guess what? There's another team that they might have to watch out for, stealing him from right under their noses. I'll tell you who that is next. Stay put. Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. It's always interesting what our audience is going to feel at a specific part during the day. Because I would say for the most part, we just floated the idea of Trevor Bauer to the Astros with all the injuries at this moment in time. But is he pitching that well in Japan? Not really. And on top of that, take a look at just where he is and how he's viewed across baseball as far as a teammate. It doesn't feel like he would be a fit, but it is surprising that there's not another team in baseball that would think about bringing him in. We also asked the question, are you willing to watch these NBA finals? Are you excited to watch these NBA finals? I think it'll be enjoyable. I really do. Though I will also admit that I will feel a little bit like a casual watching both of these teams play. At least I'm familiar with the Pacers from last year and the Celtics and Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. But with OKC, I don't watch OKC that much. So I'm sure I'm not going to like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander very much after a couple of games. A texter said, I'd rather be standing in a DPS line next to seven men with horrible body odor than watch the NBA Finals. I would rather watch the NBA Finals. I mean, you're standing next to these people with body odor. Bad body odor is bad, man.
Yeah,
bad body odor is awful, Sean. I mean, we go to the same gym, and there was someone who walked by the other day at the gym. And again, the gym is the gym, but I gagged. I gagged. It was wretched.
Yeah.
And the guy kept on standing around because I think he was looking for like a machine to open up because this terrible gym I'm at doesn't have enough equipment. So, yeah.
There's like one or two of each machine.
Right. Yeah. And God, the worst thing about it, there'll be people awkwardly standing around.
Oh,
and
my God.
And I'm in the middle, and then they just stand there. And I'll be in the middle of something, and people like wave in front of me like, how many do you have left? And I'm like, when I'm done, I'm done. Like, I'm just like, F off. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I'm not going to look at you or talk to you.
Yeah.
F off. Do not talk to me. Does that make me an a-hole? Sure, but go to this gym.
Yeah, I'm looking to get in and get out.
Yeah, same. Another texter, who gets more views? Game one of the finals or Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese? Finals. This beats baseball. Doesn't beat game one of the NBA finals.
I agree. Because what was it, like 2.5 million?
Yeah, it's going to be more than that. It won't be a lot, but it's going to be more than that. Anyway, guess what, guys? The Houston Rockets, they're in the midst of the offseason, and there's a name on the top of everyone's wish list. Not just the Rockets, every team across basketball, they're looking to upgrade. Let me upgrade you. It's time for another episode of Giannis Watch! Yes, a little Greek music. Feeling so festive here. I feel like I'm in Nico Nico's. And or Greece. I went to Greece once.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Either Nico Nico's or Greece.
And itself. Same thing. Yeah. Louis Pappas Greek restaurant where my first job was. St. Pete, Florida. You know?
You might see a manager get slapped right now.
That's right. Anas, the overweight man with Tourette syndrome who got slapped by Don for being disrespectful. Anas was asking for it. I don't care if that guy was on work release from jail. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I realize there's no backstory to that. That's really for the OG Paul Gallant
listeners. That's for the real ones.
So, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I would love to see the Rockets bring him aboard. There is no limit as far as what I'd give up to go get him outside of Amen Thompson. But even then, like, am I going to really say no? So, Amen Thompson, when is he going to be a finished product? I want Giannis on this team. I find him enjoyable as a personality. I like the way that he plays. He clearly works hard. He clearly is very grateful to have risen to the level that he's risen, not just in NBA, but also in this little game that we like to call life. Per the Toronto Star, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Toronto Raptors have mutual interest. Huh. Really? Toronto? First off, how are they going to pull that off? I'll be honest, I don't know what kind of draft picks Toronto is bringing to the table. But also, wait a second. I mean, why would he want to go there? It's cold. Canadian inflation's worse than our inflation. Huh?
Yeah.
The North. I mean, their fans suck from what I hear, too. Like, they're a-holes online. Oh, we're Canadian. We're polite. BS.
Yeah.
Ask anyone who's dealt with Blue Jays fans or fans of the Raptors.
I was going to say
Ryan Russillo.
Raptors fans. Yeah. The thing is, there might be a connection with him and Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operations in Toronto. That might just be the tie there. But yeah, it's not really, I don't know, not that enticing of a thing. The Raptors say that everyone's on the table, to which I say, yeah, they should be. Yeah, obviously. They don't have anyone good enough that you would say, no, we're trying to team up Giannis with this guy. It's like, you get Giannis, and then you try to build the team around him. But yeah, this
is weird.
It is weird, but
because Masai Ujiri won an NBA championship, what he needs to flex to make it seem like, yeah, we're doing something here. Because that's all I can see with this story is that somebody's saying, yeah, we're trying.
Giannis frugal, doesn't want to throw out his winter coats when he moves to Houston. I don't know.
By the way, so this is completely unrelated to Giannis Antetokounmpo, but it does relate to somebody who was mentoring Giannis Antetokounmpo, Hakeem Olajuwon. See this? Hear about this?
No.
We might have to do a follow-up on this. This popped up on my Instagram. A woman, per ABC 13, was awarded $530,000 in Olajuwon road rage choking incident.
Recently?
Yes.
Wow.
Court orders, not Hakeem Olajuwon, the son of Hakeem Olajuwon to pay $530,000 for a road rage choking incident. He also faces charges in another road rage incident. Gotta say, I'm assuming Hakeem Olajuwon's son is also massive. That is not someone I'd want to deal with in a road rage incident.
No. Hakeem Olajuwon, he had a temper coming up. Apparently, he passed that down to his son.
I don't know. Listen,
two
I'm not
different
saying
road
that.
Rage
no, that man is a man. Hakeem Olajuwon, no, he would never.
I just mean like unintentionally. You know, the temper runs through.
I don't think it's genetic.
Those Olajuwons run hot.
I don't think it's genetics. And honestly, this is one of those things where I'm like, I can understand why this was not a front page story for a very long time until the actual charges were finalized. This is the first I've seen this story. Holy crap. Anyway, guys, there you go. Giannis, watch. 2025. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. What is up with the Astros bats? What's the deal with the bats? Also, Astros GM Dana Brown spoke yesterday. We try to filter through what he's saying. Are we buying what he's selling? Stick around.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.